Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" If he were not a criminal, they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. In reading over this scripture, it only covers a portion of the time of the conversation between Pilate and our Lord Jesus. And as I was reading it, one of the things that really, really kind of made me wonder is, I'd never really thought about who Pilate was. I mean, I know from the different gospel readings that he's the governor, but what does that really mean? So I did some digging. Pontius Pilate was a Roman prefect. He was a military governor who was charged with keeping the peace in Jerusalem. It was his job to make sure that the occupied people in the land stayed firmly under the subjugation of Rome and did not rebel. He was pure military. He kept the peace because he had an army at his beck and call. He collected taxes from the Jews for Rome. But one thing that was interesting is that he stood as the local representative of the emperor for legal disputes. His was a powerful position, and it had many benefits. Now, Jesus had been tried by the religious leaders and stood accused and condemned for blasphemy. They wanted him dead. And they knew that the best way to accomplish that was to appeal to the Roman governor, who had the authority to execute prisoners. He alone could order Jesus to be killed. They needed Pilate to execute Jesus so they could be freed from Jesus' very public criticisms that were embarrassing in front of the people. Jesus, many times when he encountered the religious leaders of the law, did not have very kind words for them, but pretty much spoke very openly about what they were doing wrong. These were the same people that loved to be given the best places in the seating at banquets, to be honored and called teacher and rabbi. These were the people that sought out praise from the people, and Jesus had anything but praise for them. They really didn't like him. It would also allow them to blame Rome for Jesus' death. So anyone that wanted to stir up trouble on their behalf, they could just go, "Well, the governor killed him. We didn't." The leaders of the law had already finished their trial. They just needed the execution. So they brought Jesus to the palace of the governor. Now, it's funny because they would not enter the governor's palace because they did not want to become unclean and be unable to eat the Passover supper. So they waited outside. It doesn't say, but I presume they sent in a messenger asking the governor to come out. I find it interesting that the military governor, Pontius Pilate, comes out of his palace to meet them, presumably in the courtyard. He doesn't have to do this, but there's a mob on his doorstep, and he has to give them some kind of answer when they request his presence. So he comes out. According to the gospel reading, the religious leaders arrived at the palace and demanded that the man should be executed. But when Pilate asked, all they said was, "If he were not a criminal, we would not have brought him to you." I don't see a lot of respect in that statement. I don't see a lot of... persuasion. I see, honestly, a little bit of more of a disregard for the authority of Pilate. Now, keep in mind, they were oppressed. They didn't like the Romans. But even to me, just when you're asking someone to do you a favor like this, would you really give that flippant of an answer? I think it really showed their attitude towards Pilate. So Pilate was unimpressed with that answer, and he basically attempted to dismiss the crowd, but they refused to leave. So he gave in, and he had Jesus brought inside, and he interviewed him. Very clearly, he decided that Jesus had done nothing wrong to deserve death. He'd obviously done something very bad in the eyes of the local leaders, but it wasn't something Pilate could even discern in his conversation. But he wanted to please the locals and keep the peace. Pilate decides to use the Passover tradition of releasing a prisoner for the holiday. In this, I compared the different gospel readings because in John, it didn't seem to be apparent that Pilate suggested Barabbas, but in the other readings, it shows that he did. So I'm looking at this as a man who doesn't want to execute an innocent man, but he's got a mob to deal with. So he tries to stack the deck, and he says, okay, how about if I offer you Jesus, who obviously you're upset with for something with your religious laws, or a rebel and a murderer named Barabbas? Assuming that they would choose Jesus would be set free. After all, if they selected Barabbas, they would be showing sympathy to a rebel and risk the displeasure of Rome. When the crowd chose Barabbas, I am sure that Pilate was surprised. I don't think he expected that answer. Now, at that point, he could have decided not to execute Jesus anyway. But again, he didn't want to upset the local religious leaders and continue this disturbance of the peace. To do so would put at risk his comfortable position and his security by upsetting them and perhaps feeding the flames of rebellion. Pilate had two choices: to execute one man or to face the wrath of the religious leaders and their mob of supporters. It was a tough choice. In Scripture, when Jesus arrived on the scene, no matter where he went, he touched lives. He caused change. His presence was a disruptive force, no matter where he went. It challenged those around him to look at what they considered to be the most important things in their lives. Jesus still does that today. He disrupts our sinful ways, our selfish ways, and challenges us to embrace his ways, to walk a harder road, the path of the righteous. What do we want most in life? Pilate wanted his job. He wanted it to be easy. He needed to keep the peace with the local religious leaders to be a successful governor. He wanted this disruptive disturbance on his doorstep to go away in the mob to go home. All it took was to give in to this peer pressure, to give the order to kill this innocent man named Jesus. If we were in his place, facing the throng of people demanding that we execute an innocent man, would we have given in to that pressure? What about today? While we don't have a bloodthirsty mob on our doorstep, we do see the pressure of people in organizations in our communities who say they just want peace. They want to ignore Jesus. They want to make all the disruptive talk about him and about sin and about repentance to go away. What choice will each of us make today? Do we choose to please the crowds around us and take the easy way? Or do we choose to stand with Jesus?